Hoot. 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 Hoot.
You get another week of me, and you get another week of our extremely fantastic producer, Emilio, a.k.a. Balls Deep Billy, here with you on Talkin' Shop. So crack a beer, take off your pants, and listen to the hashtag worst podcast ever, Talkin' Shop. Emilio, how are you doing today? How are you, my friend?
I'm lovely, man. Lovely. I spent a lovely 48 hours with TJ Perkins in Philadelphia. That was really cool. Apparently, that place closes really, really early, and you can't get any type of food past midnight. So off to the Wawa we went.
Wawa has a special place in my heart. Not a lot of Wawas around the United States, but the first Wawa ever introduced to me by a guy named CM Punk.
That was a good name drop. It gets the job done, but it's like, I don't know, man. I was like, I needed some type of sustenance, and it wasn't really hitting.
Let me ask you this, and I know this because this was an off-air conversation that I heard you talking to TJP about, or maybe online or something, but not a lot of vegan options there at Wawa?
No, so like you go into like the kiosk thing, you punch in your bowl, and you have to choose the option. So I was like, okay, I don't want meat. I don't need cheese. All right, so let me just do some beans, some fucking spinach, whatever mixed vegetable this is, and I'll just grab some fruit and hopefully I don't die of starvation.
How was that fruit? Did you shit yourself?
Oh my God, brother, it cleaned me out, man. It went right through me. I was so lean for that 48 hours. Like my abs were popping.
Nice.
Abs were popping. And I was like, oh man, I should do this more often. Maybe I should just do the Wawa diet.
There you go. Just keep shitting yourself all day long.
That's it. Because for a hot minute, I was shitting marbles for like a good month. And I couldn't figure out why. You know, you have a Rock, what was the last time you actually shit marbles?
Like hard ones? Is that what you mean by marbles? What do you mean? Or like,
Rock, they look like rabbit pellets coming out of your ass.
To be honest, man, I got really soft ones, man. I got more of like a soft problem.
So it's like a long log, though, going into the toilet, though.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I get those. And then sometimes you have like a ghost shit where you just like do it and then you wipe and then you're like completely clean somehow.
Between the marbles and the ghost shitting, it's been like a month of just really easy shits, dude.
What the fuck are we talking about?
No, legit, like this is what I've been...
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I was not kidding when I said the fucking worst podcast of all time. Let's just leave it at that, all right? Let's leave the ghost shitting and the marble shitting for the toilet where it belongs, because we've got an amazing guest here tonight, and I feel like he doesn't want to listen to us talk about shit any longer.
I mean, we have to ask him, though. Does he take a ghost shit, and has he been shitting marbles?
Okay, fine, and then we'll move on, but... We got a lot to cover tonight. I mean, this guy and me and him go back a ways, 20 plus years, former Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion with myself, the former Los Cubanito himself, the King of Prussia, more importantly. Here he is, the Havana Pitbull. Ricky Reyes is in the motherfucking house.
I'm mostly a log guy, like a soft log. So it's pleasant. Those marbles are no joke, bro. Like, they hurt sometimes, you know? But here's what really bothers me about the marbles, right? They make little splashes. So it's like the water. It's not like a bidet refreshing, you know, like, it's like, oh, shit. Like, that's half piss.
Honestly, okay, I'm going to be completely honest, like, serious with you guys about it, since we're on this, because this will go, like, perfectly, a perfect segue into my next thing. Like, so Reyes, I remember back in the day, we used to, you know, we started in San Bernardino, California, Jesse Hernandez, School of Hard Knocks. Whenever I would, like, work out there, like, we usually used to have practice, like, late, like, from, I think it was, like, from 7 to, like, 11 p.m., right? So about 3 or 4 hours, or 8 to 11 or something like that. So, like, I'd be driving home after all day, you know, you eat lunch, maybe grab a quick dinner, like, something fast, head over to training, train, you know, get thrown around in the ring for a couple hours. Then often on my drive home, I would get an intense, like, heated feeling in my stomach where it was like a burning sensation. And I often would have to stop and use, like, and I think it was because of the bumping around in the ring. and used to take these hot ass shits, like hot and just like almost like IBS. I think I had IBS during those days.
Yeah, those are called the dump sweats.
Like where you start sweating, like you feel like you're gonna pass out.
Yeah, it's like, so when you're like, when you're about to poop and you're sweating, like before you even start the pooping process, you're sweating already because you know that there is just this pain that is in your belly. And you're like, oh man, if I don't get to a bathroom soon, it's going to be disastrous for me and anybody around me.
But why does that happen? Is that just because of something? Because like it would only happen with training, like getting thrown around, or I don't know.
Was Ricky just too hard on you when you guys were training? Did he ever like give you like belly kicks?
I mean, of course, man. He's a fucking, he'd throw me around, beat the shit out of me, slap me around, kick me in the back, stretch me.
He's Mono Negro. I had to beat him up.
We talked about that on the episode with CJP. My first gimmick was Mono Negro.
Of course, Pinoy Boy brought it up.
So this has been a This Is Your Life, Rocky Romero, for like the last two episodes. And
let's not do this. Why are we doing this?
You're such a fascinating individual and you're on a rather successful podcast, but nobody knows anything about you because you can't get a word in edgewise.
Reyes, I've been on this podcast for like a year and a half. This is the most I've ever spoken in my whole life because I'm usually with two other assholes who don't let me talk, and they're just telling stories and laughing and joking and drinking and blah, blah, blah. They don't let me talk. I got a lot to say, you know?
So me and Rocky were talking about who could we book as a guest this week. And I was like, yo, since we're on the Rocky Romero history train, we have to get probably the most important piece of the puzzle on the show. We have to get Ricky Reyes.
The most important piece. So I know where the bodies are buried.
So yeah, one of the most important pieces, definitely of my career. I mean, the guy who helped me to get started in this professional wrestling business, Mr. Ricky Reyes. I mean, we go back. So last week on the podcast, we were talking with TJ Reyes about the Freddie Valentine shows, the Abdul the Butcher story, where he started to proceed to stab as many people as he could with a fork. But thank God he watched our match and he liked us. So you would say,
remember he liked,
he was like, you two are on my side. And then everybody else just come in and feed.
Didn't he stab Logan X in the forehead for real?
No, it was Jason Allgood right in the forehead. TJ was the first one in the ring. TJ knew what was up. So TJ, I think, went towards you. And then Jason Allgood went right towards Abby.
And got forked. And he like freaked out. And I remember Frankie said, this man is stabbing people, and like grabbed me and we fell out of the ring and right to the back.
Frankie Kazarian was another guy, Emilio, that we got to get on at one point, because Frankie goes back and has fucking so many stories. Like, remember the time that we were working for Jesse and we wrestled, I think in Frankie's hometown, like what, Yucca Valley or something like that. We had the ring set up in this like rodeo arena, right? So it's all outside.
When the wind started kicking up,
we're like doing like a battle, maybe a tag match with Frankie and somebody else, and we're like working the heat on one of them, right? And he's like the hometown guy. Then all of a sudden the fucking wind starts kicking up, and then just a tornado, it turns into a fucking revolving tornado,
and we're like, what the fuck?
There was like nowhere to run, right? Like the locker room super far, right? Like I don't know, 100 feet.
Is that the one where we were getting dressed under the monster trucks, like the Greg the Hammer Valentine monster truck?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That's another bragging point of my career. Like, yeah, you ever get dressed underneath the monster truck that said Greg the Hammer Valentine on it? Shut up. You don't know nothing.
You don't know nothing. All these kids talking about paying their dues, they don't know nothing about dressing under a fucking Greg the Hammer fucking monster truck, wrestling in the middle of a tornado in Yucca fucking Valley. You know what I'm saying, Emilio? You don't know shit. You don't know about that, bro.
You don't know nothing.
Emilio was in the business. He went straight to the Fed, you know, making big bucks.
I got real lucky. I got real lucky. My first gig was WWE, so I was straight.
Yeah, you don't know wrestling until you got dressed next to me under a monster truck.
And then Reyes looks at me and goes, see, kid, yeah, this is how it starts or ends.
Yeah, now you made it.
The beginning, The beginning and the end.
The beginning and the end. Maybe you get a can of ginger ale and a hot dog, and that's about it.
Maybe, yeah.
We did all the tropes that, you know, that the old timers talk about, right? Like, oh, you didn't get paid, or you got paid $25. You got paid $25. That was like a good day. But we also fucking got paid in hot dogs. We got paid in VHS tapes of our matches.
Wait a minute. Yeah. So they would send you, or they would pay you in copies of a match that you wrestled that night?
We would come to practice the next Tuesday, and they would have a VHS tape with like the listing of our match on it, and Jesse be like, ah, brother, good job this week, and just hand it to us, and we'd be like, yes.
Otherwise it was like $10 or something, right?
Wow.
Now that I think about it, was that Yucca Valley on a Friday, and then we had Parker, Arizona the next day? I feel like that was one of those really bad long weekends like that.
These were like, you know, driving probably 6 hours, right? Probably to Parker, which was not that bad. I mean, like, I know the East Coast guys, they probably do some long ones when they do like 10 hours or plus, you know, from state to state. I mean, when you're out here in California, you're probably, you know, there's really nowhere to go besides like Arizona, Nevada, and like Northern California. So, but yeah, we do Parker, Arizona, which would be just like this like shithole fucking bar.
Half of us weren't even old enough to be in the damn thing.
So that's the thing that I am just fascinated with in regards to what you guys were doing, because Rocky was legitimately like 12, TJP was like 6.
Reyes was 35 already, so it was okay. He was a man.
So Reyes, legitimately, how old were you when you started rocking with Azucar, man? Because, you know, were you guys always a tag team or what?
I want to say the first time I met JR, I think he had just lost the Mono Negro mask, I think, to Sonny. That's kind of why they threw us together as a team, because we were short and brown.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Like, that was the whole thing, was like, I remember Jesse saying something like, nobody likes you guys. Nobody likes Cubans. Why don't you be Cuban? And we were like, whatever gets us on the show, man, just for a few months. 23 years later, we're still Cuban. So
I can't shake that shit.
I've been trying to be
in Puerto Rican for like probably like a good 15 years now, and they just won't let me do it. Every time somebody changes my Wikipedia back, like somebody will change it to Puerto Rican and then they'll change it back to Cuban. Somebody, like, you know, cause they can just do whatever. It's fucking bullshit.
They don't want that. They're like, nah, you're Cuban.
It is cool. Cause every time I go to Miami, I get hit up like, hey man, thanks for representing the, you know, the Cubanos. And I'm like, yeah,
bro. I was in upstate New York, and this guy who had a Cuban flag tattooed on his arm, right, came up to me. This was like 2008, and he gave me this hug and like had this picture of a mountain with the Cuban flag on it, wanted me to autograph it, and he just thought it was like the coolest thing, because I was like, at the time, like the Cuban crippler or whatever, and I was still wearing the Cuba gear, and I was like, cool, man. And I just signed it and kept walking. Like,
did you feel like that was time to hang up the Cuban gimmick?
Yeah, I was like, just, I don't even know what to do right now. I feel bad.
I honestly do remember the conversation, though, that they had, like, Jesse and Bill, the guy, two guys that we started with, Emilio. Like Ray said, I just finished the El Mono Negro gimmick. And like, when Reyes started, to be honest, he was like the Puerto Rican Mexican Rob Van Dam at that point. Like, he was wearing like a singlet and he was doing like Rob Van Dam kicks. Like, whenever you start, like, you just rip whoever you like off. Yeah. Right. I did the same shit.
Right.
So like that was Reyes is like, maybe I feel like maybe you're wrestling what, like a couple months, like maybe 4 or 5 months, 6 months or something, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe not even that.
I think we would see each other in training, but for some reason, like, I don't know if we didn't always catch each other in training, like whatever days that we would go in, we weren't really. So like, but we like knew each other a little bit. So I remember we were in like Parker, Arizona or something like that. And they were basically like, the conversation was like, yeah, you're short and brown. You're short and brown. Let's see if we can do something with you guys together as a tag team. And they were like, oh yeah, they acted like, and like, that's when they gave me the name. I think you had, were you wrestling already as Ricky Reyes?
I was already Ricky Reyes. Yeah.
So they were like, we got to give you another RR name. And they're like, how about, Romero. Yeah. Like Ricky Romero. Yeah, but we can't use Ricky because his name's Rick. And they're like, you look like The Rock. Your name could be Rocky Romero. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I just want to wrestle so I'm not fucking El Mono Negro anymore because I don't want to be the Black Monkey forever. So I was like, that sounds good to me. I was like, yeah, put us together. And then they were like, yeah, you know, there's too many Puerto Ricans right now, you know? So like, we can't call you, you know, because of the Boricuas and this and that, you know, from WWF. Why don't we go with El Cubanitos, the little Cubans? We didn't even fucking second guess that we were just putting ourselves into a fucking hole by calling us the little Cubans. We were just like, yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds good. It is a good name though, actually. I like it now.
Wow, man. So like you guys are like, all right, we're a tag team. Let's go. Did you like do matching shaved heads the whole nine?
Matching shaved heads. Reyes was more muscular than mine. I was like a skinny little kid. So I think in the beginning I wrestled with a wife beater I had like one of those, I bought one of those flags from like Michael's or like one of those like sewing stores or something. And I got a flag and I like ironed it onto the wife beater so I could hide my little skinny body. And then I put the wife beater on, but we had like matching tights and stuff like, or like his was green and like mine were like red or something. And they were like the Triple H. Do you remember when Triple H had like those V tights? They were like a carbon copy of that. But then they said R star R.
Genius.
I think on the other side, they said Cuba, right? Or maybe it was like R star R Cuba.
Groundbreaking shit. We were coming in hot, baby.
So fucking indie. I love it.
But it wasn't like indie cool when it was like indie cool, because then you guys, your gear started to pop when like you guys really started to gel, when I would assume Rocky was in his 20s at that point. You know, he's already been wrestling 15 years before he was even 21.
Child labor laws much?
Dude, I like this story, but like, I'm sure that you have some stories too. But so we had another friend named Sonny who used to wrestle like he used to wrestle as the Sun Warrior, right? And me and the Sun Warrior one time, Reyes wasn't there for this one, but a guy named El Suavecito, he passed, God rest his soul now, so we shall not talk ill of him. But he booked us in like Calexico or Mexicali, like somewhere like across the border, right? So me and Sun Warrior go down there. And on the way down, he didn't really tell us what was going on. He just told, he saw us at a show like a week before, I think, with Reyes, and I think Reyes had to work or something, so he couldn't come. So I think it was supposed to be Reyes and Sonny. Like they had like a really dope match and he wanted to book Reyes, but Reyes was like, he had work or something, so he couldn't go. So I just like, oh, I'll go and I'll have a car, I'll drive. So I pick up Sonny. We head down to Mexicali. And on the way, he's like, he finally tells us what's going on. He's like, hey man, so you guys are going to be in the main event. We're like, oh shit, that's fucking awesome. Good. Cool. He's like, yeah. But I didn't tell you, but you guys are going to be minis. So we get down there and it was pretty cool. It was actually like on the wall, there was like the first time ever, like it was all painted and it said like Sun Warrior and another dude. And then it said with Rocky Romero. So like, that's when I found out I was going to be a manager as well. So I'm a mini manager. So then we get inside and it looked like they had started to build this arena/building, but then they just kind of like ran out of money, or they just stopped, and then they just stopped building it on the top. So like there was like concrete piles and like rocks and shit everywhere. They had the ring in the center, and there was like probably like a good like 600-700 people, and they were like hot, and like one of the matches is going on. It was like straight up out of like Nacho Libre. Like you walk in and like just like these, you know, wrestling, these guys are wrestling with all these costumes and shit. Then we get to the locker room. And we walk in and for some reason there's no lights on. So it's just like really dark and you're like trying to like see each other's faces and stuff like that. But you can't see, there's maybe like one dim light. I'm like, what is going on right now? Like who are we going to wrestle? So he introduces us to the guys that Sonny and this other gentleman we're going to wrestle. And they're like straight up like famous minis, like in Mexico. Like, so we meet these guys and they kind of like are sizing us up, you know. They're like, oh shit, the gringos are here. So like they like shake our hands like all super like hard, and they're like staring at us, you know, and they're like speaking Spanish to us, and they're like, we don't really know any Spanish, so like, but it's just like super intense. They go, so yeah, you know, today the promoter comes up and we're all barely can see each other, right, because that light. or like the lack of light. And the promoter comes up and he's like, yeah. So he tells Suavecito, you know, like, okay, you know, we're going to have the Gringos go over today. And then next week they'll come back and then, you know, we'll do a rematch and then, you know, the other guys will win. So we're like, okay. And they're like, well, and we want this guy, they're pointing at me. We want him to like come in at the end and like stop, you know, like that's the reason that they win or whatever. Like he helps them cheat. The dudes that are wrestling, the luchadors, the minis, they're like being super stiff. Like they don't want to like, they don't want to really make the match at all. So like we talk about like, what do you want to do? And they're just kind of like saying a couple things because they were upset that they had to lose, right? So finally, they kind of make some kind of like little high spots in there. We get up in the ring. 5 seconds in, they just start beating the shit out of my friend, the Sun Warrior, and they start beating the shit out of his partner. And I'm on the outside like, oh shit, they're fucking whooping their ass. And they were just like throwing them around. Like all the stuff they talked about, they just didn't do. And they just were like chopping them and like kicking them and like throwing around, like going completely off script. So like, I remember Sun Warrior rolls out to me. He's like, I don't know what to do. These guys are just kicking our ass. I was like, I don't know what to do either. But like, this place is kind of fucking scary. And I was like, what do we do? He's like, I don't know. I'm just going to keep going with it. I was like, all right. So like, they literally just kicked their ass for like 9 minutes. And then all of a sudden Sun Warrior just rolled them up 1, 2, 3. And then like, I just got in the ring and everybody's like, boo. And they, right before we had gone out, they gave us like a flag. Like it was supposed to be like an American flag, but it wasn't really an American flag. It was like a flag that you get at like Home Depot for like 4th of July. And it was just like red, white, and blue. And it said like America. So they told me to wave this thing. So I'm in the ring waving this fucking Home Depot flag. And then all of a sudden, like, everybody's like, boo. And like, remember I said, like, they hadn't finished building this fucking building. They just start hurling pieces of fucking cement at us and bottles and shit. I felt like, oh shit, like this is my Ric Flair moment, you know? So I fucking dip out and I grab the microphone and I start cutting what I think is the greatest promo ever. Right. And I'm just like talking shit on Mexico. And I'm saying like, you know, we're the fucking greatest and we're from America, blah, blah, just like your random like heel shit. And, you know, and I think like most people can understand because it's like a border town, you know, and then the shit just starts getting crazier. The other luchadors, they end up grabbing the flag from me, like shoot, like ripping it away from me. And then somebody threw them a lighter and they lit it on fire. So now we had like a thing on fire. It was so bad that like Suavecito was like, okay, I think it's time to go, guys. Like, let's just get the fuck out of here because these people are getting really pissed off. So we rolled out. Got out of there. We went back. The promoter was like so happy. He paid us our $50. Then the luchador started being nice to us because they were like, oh shit, that was like really good heat. I was like, oh shit. And we like got up in the car and it was so fucking scary. We got into the car. We drove for like an hour and a half. We dropped off. So obviously though, me and my friend Sonny were like, are you going back next week? I was like, no, I'm never going to go back there ever again. He was like, good, because I don't want to go back either.
Stuff like that happened in like Puerto Rico and stuff. Like when I was in Puerto Rico for a year, the fans there are pretty wild. Have you worked Puerto Rico?
Never. I want to so badly. That's one place I haven't been.
When I was there in 2009, it was probably the last like still old school territory. Still, like it was still
that was like WWC, right?
Yeah, Carlos. I remember when I got booked for it. Carino booked me. I think that was the last time I was in Japan, was when he took me down for Hustle and 01 in 2008, like the end of 2008. He was going back and forth to Puerto Rico. And he asked me on that trip in Japan, he was like, oh, do you want to go to Puerto Rico? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, I'm on the booking team. Let me talk to Carlos. December, I get an email from Puerto Rico, the office guy or whatever, Alfredo. He goes, you're scheduled here in January. Till February, you know, so it was like 6 weeks or something. So I was like, all right, cool. So I'm all excited, you know. So I see Steve at the gym and I was like, cool. You know, I talked to Alfredo and he goes, all right, great. Everything's set up and everything's good. And I said, yeah, great. Thanks. You know, appreciate it. Whatever. I remember I get to Puerto Rico and Steve's on the beach. So I go to the apartment. No one knows I'm supposed to be there. So like the lady at the desk is like, no, your name's not on the list. So I'm calling Steve. He's not picking up. And I'm like, yeah, where's the other gringo at? The white guy. And they're like, yeah, yeah, the luchador. And I said, yeah. And then she points at the beach. So I'm like, all right, I'll find Steve and figure out like where I'm supposed to be staying. Cause like, you know, I don't know nothing. So I'm walking through the beach and then I see him, right? And he's like, oh, grab a chair, hang out. So I just chill there, whatever. The next day's the big show, like at the big arena, right? So I go in, I see Carlos and Jovica and like in his office, you know. So I wave and Carlos gives me like this big, Carino just called it like his $1 million smile, you know, like he always has this big, huge smile on his face, you know. So I kind of wave and I think, oh man, Carlos is so nice, you know. I was like, cool. So I go to the locker room and I'm like talking to a couple of guys, whatever. Carino comes in, he goes, I gotta talk to you. And I'm like, all right. He's we got problems. I'm like, dude, I literally just walked in the like I haven't even got warmed up yet. Like, how am I in trouble already? So he's like, I kind of mentioned to Carlos that maybe you were a little bit bigger than what you really are. And I'm like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, well, he was expecting you to be much taller, much bigger. And I was like, well, how much taller? And he was like, I don't know, 6'2"-ish. And I'm like, bro, like, what? And he's like, well, in the footage I showed him of you, he told me, he goes, oh yeah, he looks like a big guy. And he's like, oh yeah. He goes, I think you're big. And I'm like, bro, not now. Like, stop. So this is all happening like in the arena, you know? So I don't
know.
Real
time. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Right. Like, do I apologize? Like, what do I do? Right. Like, I haven't even shook the guy's hand yet. Like, I just waved to him in the hallway. He goes, look, just go out there and just do you. He'll fall in love with you. I promise. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, whatever. So I go out there. We have our match or whatever. And I come back, you know, everyone was like, oh man, that was fucking awesome. Whatever. And that's the first time I met Hurricane Castillo. Remember, he was in Los Boricuas. He wore the suspenders and like the beater, you know, usually. So I remember me and him instantly had heat because he's calling the match. So I told him, I was like, well, I'll shine you up in the beginning. We were having a tag match. The whole show got messed up because one of the guy's tag partners didn't come back to Puerto Rico to start the new year. So I just got randomly thrown into a tag and Castillo's like, he's snorting cocaine in the back, you know? So he's telling everybody, he's like, he talks like he's Scarface. So he's like snorting cocaine. And he's like, the new guy's a shooter. He's a shooter. So Steve's been telling everybody that I'm a shooter.
And you're 6'2".
Yeah. And I'm 6'2". So he's like, okay. That's okay. And I'm like, all right. He goes, so you roll? And I was like, yeah, whatever you want to do, man. I'm good. You know, I'm thinking in my head, like, yeah, I'll shine you up, you know, whatever you want to do, man. And he's like, all right. So he explains this head scissors thing he wants to do, right? Well, I've seen Eddie Guerrero do it, you know. It's the one where he kind of like a pop-up, and then Eddie shoots his feet and then like tucks real fast, you know. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. I said, like Eddie Guerrero does, right? And he goes, no. Like I do. And I was like, so we get in there, we start rolling around. So he starts getting real aggressive, you know? So I'm like, all right, whatever. So I'm letting him do his stuff. So he starts cross-facing me like really hard with his forearm. So now I'm like, all right, I'm gonna fuck you up now, because now you're pissing me off. So like, I take him down and I put him in a couple locks and I just let him know, like, you know, I'm kind of owning him on the ground. Get him up. And I said, do your high spot. So he gets up and he starts doing, he's catch me on the dive. Right. And I'm like, okay. So the Puerto Rican rings, the apron is really, really tall. Like as if I was standing there, the bottom rope would be like almost like above my head. Like they're really tall. Right. So like I go to the floor and I don't realize it until I'm on the floor and I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is like weird. So he does like a tope and I got to like jump into the air to catch this dude, so he doesn't like fall head first into the concrete. So we go in, we have the match, whatever. And he's like super excited, you know? And so now I'm like super nervous, cause now Carlos is going around paying everybody. And I'm thinking, like, is he going to tell me go home? Like, you know, like what's he going to say? So he was like, oh yeah. Good job. You know? And I remember Kevin Quinn told me to tell him that he trained me, you know, and that he would, you know, that would help, you know. And right. I said, oh, my trainer, Kevin Quinn, told me to tell you hello and to let you know that, you know, I trained with him and stuff. And he's like, Kevin, huh? yeah, he was a good wrestler. He was okay. And I was like, oh, he was okay. Got it. I'm like, I don't know if I'm helping or hurting my chances here, whatever. But I ended up staying there like the whole year. But it was like, right. It was crazy because we would be like, go to the office on Thursday nights, like at midnight, and do promos for like the next 3 days of TV. We would do like all the house shows, and then we would hit like one TV at the end of the week, right? So it was like, I would lose all the house shows, and then like I would win like on television, and I didn't understand like what was really going on, you know? So I told Carlos, like, am I doing something wrong? Like, is this because I'm small? Like, you're beating me every night? And he was like explaining, like, no. He's like, you know, then when you have a title match on TV, people think you're going to lose, and then you win and whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. And then like this guy, Jeff Bradley from Florida, he was like, he goes, I never lose on TV. He goes, lose on all the house shows, because the house shows. So it was cool because you got to learn like, you know, how to build up to like a big event and like how to plant those seeds all through your house shows, you know, and like, you know, do different stuff on TV. I don't know. It was just like,
that's cool. Kind of territory style probably, huh? Like just popping the houses like locally, right? To keep everybody happy. But then use your TV to drive why the heel would be winning, you know, and kind of driving the storyline.
Yeah. So like on independence, you don't really learn that, even if you do work for a TV company, right? Like they don't really do it that way, you know, but they did it that way where they would let me and the guy I was feuding with go like 20 minutes, you know, and then the old guys were coming in late every house show, you know. And then it would break down into a 6-man tag because Thunder and Lightning would finally show the fuck up in their gear. So they were always late. So they're like, oh, Angel and Reyes will go out and do 20. By then, Chicky Star will come out. Ricky will beat up Chicky. Thunder and Lightning will come out, you know, and we did it the same every night, you know, right. It was crazy.
So
but it was a different town.
I love it.
Yeah, but it was a different town, you know. So me and Angel kind of just had our basic match to set that up. And it was like, I don't know, it was cool. Like, it was just neat to be able to go do that stuff, you know, like not have to change too much because the internet, it wasn't as popular there.
Do you know what's spookier than seeing a black cat on Halloween? It's shaving your balls with anything other than Manscaped. When it comes to below-the-waist grooming, there's no need to carve your pumpkins this Halloween because Manscaped is here to upgrade your grooming experience. Go from a bite-sized candy bar to a king-sized candy bar and join the 2 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code HOOTS20. Have you ever trimmed your balls and it turned into a Freddy Krueger film? Now let's think about this for a sec, fellas. We've all been there in the shower trying to groom up for a night of intimacy and comfort. And snag, there goes the foreskin right inside the razor. Luckily, Manscaped is here to save the day and make sure you're smelling fresh with their new refined body wash. Fellas, the ladies love their signature scent, and it'll scare away those vampires. Unlock your confidence with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside, you'll find the holy grail of men's grooming items. They've made it easy for you to upgrade your grooming routine. It's a full moon out, and the werewolf in your pants is howling. Ow! It's time to tackle that problem with the lawnmower 4.0. Their finely tuned pube products feature a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is easily the greatest ball trimmer on the planet. Oh, did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? This trimmer is a shower essential. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker, a total game changer to your men's hygiene arsenal. The Weed Whacker is a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skincare technology that helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. Their Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner will make sure your pumpkins stay extra fresh and spicy. Trust me when I say this, fellas, your balls will be thanking you.
Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. If you're looking like the Wolverine and haven't cut your nails recently, be sure to look into the Shears 2.0 Nail Kit. They have a bunch of other life-changing products on their website, so be sure to check it out. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HOOTS20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HOOTS20, H-O-O-T-S, the number 20, at manscaped.com. Say trick or treat to your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped.
Guys, take me back to Ring of Honor when you guys won the ROH Tag Team Championships at Testing Limits back in 2004. Who did you beat? Was it Punk and Cabana?
That's when Cabana like got eye surgery, right? Or LASIK surgery. And this motherfucker had these Kurt Rambis goggles on, right? He just showed up to the show. Yeah. And me and Reyes, and I think we're Punk. Maybe we're like sitting by the ring like before the show. And we're like, where's Cabana? And like Cabana like shows up like a minute or two later. And he's wearing these fucking goggles. And I just started looking at it. I just started laughing. I was just popping because I thought he was fucking around, right? Like what the fuck are you wearing these stupid ass goggles for? And he goes, all right, guys, just don't hit me in the face, right? Because, like, I'm wearing these fucking goggles. I'm like, and, like, my eyes are fucked up. I got this surgery or whatever. And I was like, what is he talking about? Like, I honestly thought he was fucking joking. So, like, we put the whole match together, like, doing this whole thing. We get in the match. And me or Reyes, one of us, first thing we do, we, like, lock up the first punch we throw. It's, like, right between the eyes. And he just starts freaking out. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, what is he getting so mad for? And then he started like yelling at us, like, you motherfuckers, why are you hitting me in the face? And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, you're wearing these stupid ass goggles. I thought that's what you wanted. He's like, no, I can't fucking get hit in the face. These are to protect my eyes. We're like, what? We're like, I was like, you're always fucking around. We thought you were kidding the whole time. We thought you were just ribbing us and that you're wearing these fucking stupid goggles for nothing. He's like, it was like really to protect his eyes. He couldn't get hit in the eyes. And me and Reyes are just like punching him in the, like right between the eyes. We thought he was joking the whole time. Cause like he would do stupid, funny shit like that. You know, we thought he was just like being a jokester, pulling our fucking chain.
I don't remember him saying about the surgery. So like, I literally thought it was just being funny. Like Colt just being Colt, like that's what I chalked it up to. And then I remember, like, I know it was you because I've seen the footage of it. Like you kicked him right in the eyes, like with your toe at one point. And he starts swinging from the ground, like legit. In my mind, I remember thinking like, the fuck is he throwing real punch? Like the fuck is wrong with him? Like, I remember like grabbing onto him and he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, what's he really mad for? Like, you know, and I didn't get it until afterwards. And I remember he like put his arms around us and he was like, it's all right. And I'm thinking, what the fuck is all right? Like, I was so confused the whole night.
I don't remember him actually saying that the LASIK thing until after. And I thought he was fucking around.
I think he told Punk and then Punk just didn't tell us to be funny. And then we just beat him up. And then
Cabana was going to tell us and nobody told us, I think. And we just thought he was like doing like a Kurt Rambis gimmick, and I was like,
that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's all I remember from that night. I remember the match wasn't very good. The
match wasn't that good at all.
The match wasn't good because remember Punk wanted that stupid Midnight Express finish with the clothesline, like holding the guy. One of us was like trying to do like a small package, and then the other, his partner, was going to be holding him. And then I remember I clotheslined Punk. And I remember clotheslining him right in the face, like as hard as I could. And he was like, yeah. And then they roll up 1, 2, 3. And then I remember he came back. He goes, yeah, that was my bad. Like, that was a bad call on the finish. And I was like, yeah, that was really stupid. Like, what'd you do that for? I just remember the match was just not good.
I don't remember the match being that very good either. The funny thing is, I swear to God, I think Cabana thinks it was Reyes that kicked him. But that's funny that he thinks
it. No, I swear to God, dude, I can't remember when or where, but I watched it and I'm like, I was thinking the same thing. I thought he thought that I did it. And I'm like, JR just basically put his toe in his eye and then Colt starts swinging. And I came over to be like, yo, man, what the fuck's your problem? Like, I think he thought it was me.
I think he still thinks it's you because I feel like 3 or 4 years ago, like he came over like to Japan and like we went out to eat or something and we were like talking about it. And I swear to God, he goes, yeah. And I don't know what the fuck your stupid partner was thinking by punching me right in the fucking eyes. I was like, yeah, fuck him.
yeah, exactly. And fuck you guys.
All right, folks. Thank you for joining us once again. Make sure you follow us. Talking Shop on Twitter, Talking Shop Pod on Instagram. Make sure you subscribe, like, click the little bell on our YouTube page. Don't forget patreon.com/talking shop. If you want more Tiz Shiz, if you want updates, you want Boozing with the Boys, where we drink a whole bunch with the whole Patreon crew that we love so much and just talk shit. That's what we do. We Tiz the Shiz. So if you want more Talking Shop, definitely add us there. Join the Patreon. Don't forget, what else do we have? Anything coming up, Emilio? You got anything to plug?
Yeah, you got New Japan Strong in Philadelphia coming up.
I do have New Japan Strong in Philadelphia, October 16th and 17th. You don't want to miss it. You can get tickets at 2300arena.com. Ricky Reyes, what's your socials? Where can people find you?
Twitter is at RickyReyes01, Facebook Ricky Reyes, Instagram Ricky Reyes, pretty much all I got.
All right, well, make sure you follow Ricky Reyes. Emilio, thank you very much this week. Appreciate you. Next week, the Good Brothers are supposed to be back. We'll see if those motherfuckers actually show up. Supposedly, they got some big interviews coming up. They got Scott D'Amore and some other folks. But you can't trust the Good Brothers because we know the Good Brothers ain't really good. We'll see you next week.